does that mean we have? We have a 3 million. We have 3 million people going through a 1.5 million airport. That's what we have right now. And so we're very, very excited to get this project going. We're on track to break ground on this expansion in July.
So that was the mayor at the State of the City address last week talking about the airport capacity, which, you know, we've got a new terminal coming. They have maxed out as much parking as we can possibly max out on the ground. They're going to have to build a new parking structure as well. God bless us for the cost that's going to involve and so forth. But I want to ask a question specifically about that number, because it caught me sideways a little bit. Joining us now, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves, City of Pensacola Mayor. Mayor Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks for having me. I'm a victim of my I-10 cell phone signal. I'm on the road to Leadership Florida in Jacksonville, so bear with me.
It's fine so far, and if it gives out, we'll give you a little bit of grace. Okay, so
all
of a sudden, I have a question that I hope you have a good answer for. We are a 1.5 million capacity airport handling 3 million people a year. That's bad. We are, I mean, it's good. It's a good problem, but it's a problem. We are expanding. We are doubling our capacity by adding a new terminal. I assume at the end of this construction, we will be at a 3 million capacity. But by the time that's finished in what, 4 or 5 years, we'll be above 3 million. Mm-hmm. Won't we just be getting up to being still behind at that point?
Well, first of all, you know, I think five new gates. Let's just look at gate passenger traffic. We have this. We have a million more people going through the same 12 gates than we had a decade ago, right? So, and as a matter, and people ask me this question all the time. They say, "Well, wait, does that mean we can't take one more flight at the airport?" Our gate capacity is not the issue. When I say 1.5 million airport with 3 million, I understand why a citizen would say, "Well, that must mean we can't get any. We can't stuff any more flights into the airport." No, that actually is less of our problem. What we're talking about is baggage handling, baggage claim, the seating areas, things like that.
Okay.
So when we go from 12 to 17 gates, I wouldn't assume that only gets us to 3 million. And, you know, I think that helps us. And of course, there's long-term expansion plans where you could do another terminal to the other direction. And so there's plenty of growth opportunity that can take place. So from a how many flights come in and how many seats leave this airport, we don't have a capacity issue at 17. But the desperate things that need to happen, the central utility plant, the baggage claim, those are the types of things that might fit more into that concern or argument than the actual terminal expansion itself.
Okay, well, that's reassuring, because I didn't know that was the nature of the constraint, and so I appreciate you explaining that. That's great. That's a good answer. I really like the agenda item that you guys are working on for tomorrow night. That's going to be it's kind of like you've taken the Huts for Our Friends concept that Caleb had, and you're kind of turning that into the city project for how to provide temporary structures for homeless. You correct me if I'm wrong, but the short version is with American Rescue Plan money, good to be using it. You've created an account with a company that produces these things, and then you're going to buy as required or requested by local agencies, like let's say Waterfront orders 10 of them. The city will own them. You're going to place 10 of these little kind of, you know, personal huts outside at Waterfront, and then that expands their capacity and hopefully spend all the money tailoring the product to what people need. And if an agency ever goes away, you can always take them back and use them somewhere else. Do I basically have it right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think the most important piece of this is, once we came to the realization, this has been 1 year in the making, once we came to the realization that a low barrier shelter was well beyond a one-time $1.1 million allotment of money, that we're talking about multiple millions of dollars annually. Once we made that decision, then we moved to the next best thing, which is how do we house people today? But, you know, and so that's why I like this. It gives us the flexibility to meet need where it is and not paralyze ourselves waiting years or multiple years to solve a today problem. So if we can increase capacity with the folks that know how to handle this and case manage this, I think that's a good thing. And again, we get 2 years. We have to encumber the funds by this month,
right?
But we have 2 years to get those dollars expended.
Yeah, I mean, it's a low barrier shelter without having to create a low barrier shelter, and have all the ongoing maintenance.
That's the way I see it.
And to embed it with our existing, you know, agencies, which I, you know, again, it seems like a win all the way around. You guys are working on the new resident satisfaction survey, including a couple of, I thought your questions you mentioned for parking were pretty good. You know, would you rather pay a buck an hour and park close to your destination, or would you rather pay nothing and walk a couple of blocks? That's a good, you know, market tester kind of question. I like that you're willing to ask the question and find out what the audience says, but this is going on now, is that right? Or it's going on soon?
That's correct. Yeah, it's going on now, and it'll go through January. We normally run the survey in the fall, and it's for city residents only. The first question, I know, Andrew, you'll appreciate is, instead of asking you what council district you're in that you probably don't know,
right.
We say, is your garbage can green or black? That's your first question of the survey. They give away as a sneak preview. You know, this is for city residents only because obviously we want there's conversations in there about things that would only affect city residents. So,
sure.
But it's very valuable. I think we had about 1,600 people put a survey in last time. There'll be everybody in the city is going to get a postcard that'll have a QR code on it in the coming days. And of course, you can go to our city website and click on that link. So we certainly would appreciate it. And I would hope if anybody knows me well enough after these 2 years, they understand that we don't just ask for the sake of asking. We do take action with these things, but that's why they're vitally important to me.
Agreed. I think it's good. And by the way, something else I really like is I remember you mentioning I think it was the State of the City, but you mentioned that on every agenda item for the city council, the idea is to put which of the 8 strategic objectives this one advances. And, I think that's exactly right. That's how you reinforce the significance of those strategic objectives, and that's how you prove that you're, aiming at the mark every time you go through a city council agenda. Mayor Reeves, one of the things that has been in the works for forever and has never quite come to fruition is the turning of Martin Luther King Jr. Drive and Davis Highway into two-way streets. What is... Pardon me, I had to sneeze. The holdup, as I understand it, is we're trying to... money... Okay, and trying to align what we're doing with FDOT's, like, resurfacing? Is that the idea, or to give us time to get grants? What is the plan here?
Yeah, exactly. So why is there a timeline? Why is this now finite versus just a visionary thing? Well, it's because they're due to be repaved, and they're state roads. And the conversation that really preceded me as mayor was, hey, you know what? If you'll get these resurfaced and make that a higher priority, the city will take over possession, which, as you well know, Andrew, that makes a lot of sense for FDOT. Anytime you could give up the maintenance of a road and give it to someone else, that's usually a good thing. So that was the trade-off. And that resurfacing was going to be, these numbers may have changed, but at the time, maybe $3.5 million for that to happen. But that's to keep them as one way. To go to two-way is an additional $4, $5, maybe even $6 million, and you're like, well, man, I you can imagine the first question I asked as a road engineer, street engineer was, man, how's that possible?
Right.
I mean, but isn't it just a couple stop signs, and then they walk you through it. You're like, oh yeah, like all the turn lanes, whether it needs to be signaled now or not, whether all of these different things, and a huge cost of it is really the north terminus. It's where they converge up there near Fairfield.
Yeah, just for people who are not sure, where they come together at the north and kind of merge into Davis Highway right at the Fairfield on-ramp, like we'd proposed a roundabout maybe like that. Figuring that out is a challenge. So sorry, just for people who haven't been following this, go ahead.
No, it's okay. And so the bottom line is, why is there a time crunch? The time crunch is, if we're going to design the road as a two-way, design it, and you think 10%, give or take, of design for construction, $6 million-ish, about 10%. So it'd be an additional $600,000 of design money to get it designed as two-way. So that is what is moving. The county plans on supporting $200,000. We have put the ARPA $400,000, and we caught the last boat off the island. In order, if we don't do that now, you can expect for the next generation, and probably as long as I'm alive, that those roads will stay two-way because they'll be brand new roads. I'm sorry, one-way. They'll be brand new roads, and it would make a lot of sense to then change them right after. So we caught that deadline, and we said, hey, this is important enough. We have I-110. There's a reason that those don't need to be one-way roads. And if we want to recreate these and make these neighborhoods safer and more vibrant, then we need to get the many interstates out of them. And so that's the goal. And so we were able to kind of seize that opportunity, use some of that ARPA funding. And then now, the next big elephant is going to be go find the construction money. Now, we'll have a couple of years to do that. But we've got to make that decision right now. If we want to make this a priority, we can't wait 6 months. We got to decide now. So that's what we've done.
Okay. So not only an opportunity, but a deadline kind of both at the same time. And as you say, the last chance to do this for probably 20 years or more, or 30 years or more. So that, which makes sense. And finding grant money theoretically shouldn't be that hard, because we're putting in massive public safety improvement. You know, the roads are going to be far less dangerous to drive on, and those kinds of grants are available. So, okay, that makes sense to me. One of the other things that I wanted to ask you about is the sports complex / Bay Center, which you have talked about. I just thought you made such interesting comments about the Bay Center. I haven't ever heard anybody say it quite that way, and I haven't had a chance to play the clips. So instead of playing them, I'm going to have you explain it. But you don't just want the sports complex to be in the city for obvious reasons, because it benefits the city, and for, you know, logistics reasons as well. But you said some stuff about the Bay Center that I thought was important. Can you just tell people, kind of as a sports guy and also as an infrastructure guy, why the Bay Center, what you think the future of the Bay Center is? Which is not your baby. Yeah, it's a county project, right? But it still affects the city.
And it's why I'm going to, you know, and I want to be at least indirectly involved. And, you know, I joke, sometimes you can have more free-flowing opinion when you have no dog in the fight. And from a Bay Center standpoint, we have very minimal dog in the fight, except what happens there has a great impact on the city's future.
Right.
And so, as a sports writer, you know, I believe, is there a demand for some type of mixed-use facility? Sure. Is there a demand for conference space? I would presume, and that those are things that can be studied. But, you know, ultimately, the critical mass and the repair of our Bay Center, if we want to get – the question was, you know, what do you think about sports activities and their return on investment? And my belief is there's absolutely return on investment, but we are behind and significantly so. I mean, go look up and down the Gulf Coast. If that's the way we want to go, and I do believe in that, we've got now four or five hotels being threatened downtown that have some real smoke to them that I expect will happen. You know, hopefully something happened at the Grand Hotel. But, you know, to me, the bottom line is, you know, we should make a commitment of that critical mass, and we should take care of the Bay Center that. As you've heard me say many times, Andrew, find me one citizen in this county that says, man, you know, I think the Bay Center's in ship shape. I mean, it's beautiful. I've never heard a human being say that. We all know it's 40 plus years old. And why aren't we taking care of the things? Priority one should be this, something that could be a crown jewel. Priority two would be, let's create critical mass at the same place for these events to happen. And if we want to invest in sports tourism, then I believe in that, and let's do it. And let's do it in a thoughtful way. I think that thoughtful way is to do it around the same site.
Yeah, and I particularly appreciated you saying, like, you thought that basically the bones at the Bay Center are good, that renovating the Bay Center is going to cost a lot. But when it gets done, it'll look like a brand new facility, instead of the notion of raise it and start over, which is, what, $300-400 million. So that's just not going to happen.
Yeah, the structure, people say, why don't you bulldoze it? Yeah, that will never happen. I mean, it right. will be, the bones are fine, those have been inspected. And as you said, if you close your eyes and open them at a renovated facility, you wouldn't know that it was the same building if it's done to the degree that it needs to be done. And we're talking more of a $40, $50, $60, $70 million type project versus a $400 million right. project that I don't even know where that funding would come from.
We always like to end with a couple of frivolous topics, a couple of a lightning round thing. First one is, when you're sending an email to a friend, do you sign the email the way you would sign a letter, or do you not sign your name? Like, even if it's an email thread back and forth.
Ooh, at most I just put BC, but I would say, no, to a friend, probably not. No,
probably not. Okay.
Do you?
Yeah, usually it's weird, but it's kind of like I'm writing a letter, even on the replies. Typically, yeah, no, I don't go formal. I don't go quite that way. Yeah. when commencements take place, this is our topic yesterday. When commencements take place, the mortar boards that the graduates wear, the little square hats, A lot of people have taken to decorating them with all kinds of things these days. Pro con on the decorator. What do you think? Should they be individual or should they just conform to the whole group and make them black?
I don't know. I feel like there's other ways to, you know, when I did the commencement speech the year prior, you know, people would have different scarves or different, you know, some other things. I don't know about the hat itself. I think you'll want the, to me, you'd want the authenticity of the original hat down the road.
I gotcha. And I'm going to surprise you with this one. I don't know if you caught this conversation. We talked about this recently, but what would you think of football getting rid of punts? Because the punt is a way of rewarding bad offense and giving them the ability to get out of bad field position without actually advancing the ball. It's a kind of social safety net for bad offenses.
I would put that in the same basket. I know you're a baseball guy. I would put that in the same basket as this crazy idea about letting
the golden batter
come up during the game. Like, completely changes the sport. I mean, no, I couldn't be more opposed to that. I mean, maybe I'm old school or traditionalist, but I mean, the idea that you'd have to go for it on 4th and 9 from your own 5-yard line because you want to get rid of punts would be outrageous, sacrilegious.
Oh, I love it. Sacrilegious. Outstanding. D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola, city council meeting tomorrow night. Mr. Mayor, as always, thank you so much for the time and for doing what you're doing, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.